This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty and Mary Jane. 96.9 FM.
I make to the corner when I make it. And that's where I make them take it. So, I've been here for sure. Don't worry. I'm in say bam, 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 bam. It's not an easy road. I'm in the city glamour and the guitar, so them think I better rose. Me say, who feels it knows?
Talking Heads with Naughty is brought to you by Burger King, City of Hope, Fine Threads, John's Department Store, Joker's Wild, KFC, Naughty Johnny's, Percy's and Games, Pindertal, Print Masters, Sandcastle Bahamas, Tropical Gyros, and the Water and Sewage Corporation.
You've got a log in the 7th edition of Talking Heads. Your boy Naughty along with Mary Jane and Earl the Pearl in the building, in your company, live in the studio, and our very special guest. And we will get to a great conversation and a great dialogue with our very special guest, leader of the COI, Mr. Lincoln Bain. Glad to have him here. Glad to have him in studio. And we'll have a candid conversation with him on the flip side of the break. And like I said, it is Monday, as promised, so we'll make it happen for you. But before we get to the break, MJ, Pearly, boy, let me tell you. You know, I got to say this at some point.
Great ad, my brother.
And I just want to just say, you know, hats off to my broadcast colleague, Mr. Zhivago Lang. That was entertaining 2 hours.
I learned so
much. You couldn't have said it any better, buddy. Gee whiz.
I learned so much listening to Zhivago's show earlier. Mm-hmm. This is a great show, I think.
I did not get a chance to listen to it. I've been running around doing.
No, it was a great show.
Doing car stuff all day.
And I love it when people who have experienced, like, not something someone told them, but actually lived experience about certain subjects that are very interesting to the public.
Yeah.
When they speak on it, when they tell their truths, and you know they can not what they heard, but what they know. So yeah, congratulations to Zhivago. I think that was a great show earlier.
It was a good show. I listened to it a little.
I think it covered all the bases. I think, you know, it was well explained as to why the F&M took the stance that they did, as far as with their press conference, not nominating Dr. Minnis in Kalani.
That's what spoke on that.
You know, just for context.
Yeah.
And like I said, if you look at the situation, if you were genuine with your intentions about helping the party, it would have been all hands on deck. You would have been at press conferences. You would have been...
So, like, which one of y'all got your phone still on?
I don't know. Is that our
guest? That would only be Mr. Bain.
Hello. Got rules in here.
Which one? There's like 7 phones.
Yeah, I just have the one, and it's on silent.
You got two.
Yeah. I think Mr. Bain has
I got my personal,
Lincoln,
and then
got
I got the
three
text
phones
and I,
there. Yeah, we got to put them all on silent.
Radio
okay.
Rusty.
Yes.
So, my point is, it would have been all hands on deck. Let me mentor. Let me nurture. Let me bring up a young leader, because that's what you do. I look at it as a comedian. There was no comedian there when I went to Joker's to say, hey, this is how it goes. I had to learn, and I had to learn.
Ooh,
from
that's me. So easy.
There were other comics that took me under their wing, no diddy, and said, hey, this is how it go.
Yeah.
And they were headliners or former headliners or features getting ready to be headliners. So I got a good perspective. So at some point, nowadays, when younger comedians ask me questions, I'm more than willing to say, hey, this is how it go. Get there faster than it took me. So obviously, if he was good, if you want to, you know, in turn, you need to follow a leader if you want to be leader. At some point, you got to lead, you got to follow in order to lead.
A good leader is a great follower. You got to follow to lead.
So if you're in a position of following, then follow.
Yep.
If you're all hands on deck and you're all in, follow, show it, be there, show up. If five of your colleagues throw the mace out the window and they're kicked out of Parliament, then stay out of Parliament till they go back.
Well,
don't posture, grandstand, and soapbox.
Nope.
Because it's the I, me attitude that got him where he is today. And this is the part I want to get to. A band of mindless minions.
Mindless.
Mindless minions.
Uh-huh.
Because if you look at them, they was latched on to Loretta Van La Turner until she lost.
A lot of them were, yeah.
Then they jumped ship to the ministry and it was on a wave, and not like this wave, but obviously ping-pong, the nation flipping back and forth.
And building up to that, they carry on by. They, one of the particular set of minions break up a whole table in the conference room in the F&M headquarters, break
what?
It, and then all of a sudden, is it now in Minutes Corner?
Oh, so
they was rolling.
Uh-huh.
But that's it shows crazy. Their effectiveness, because when they got to the polls, when it counted, he got monkey stomped. And nowhere along the way did they do a good job defending him or his policies, like other great leaders have been defended by their PR teams and their parties to the stance we took. But they didn't do a good job.
A lot of them are now blaming Pintard's PR team for not defending their record.
Hold on. Let me just finish. So, the whole rabid, blind, bully boy tactics is done. And about 3 years ago, in a chat group, somebody asked
me. In a chat group? Several chat groups.
Several chat groups. What my opinion was, and I said,
so many pretty.
You need to ease up pushing the menace line. He has zero popularity. People get the who farted look on their face whenever you mention his name. He brings back painful memories. Nobody's on his run.
Competent.
That's probably because they were vomiting in their mouth when they said menace. And see what I mean? So.
Well, Bahamians have PTSD from the whole COVID.
So the whole scenario. So that was honest advice. Like, if you want to bring this dude back, that's fine.
The former prime minister, not this dude.
Sorry. If you want to bring the former prime minister back, protocol, my fault. If you want to bring the former prime minister back, maybe you need to keep him down for a minute, freshen him up, make him over, give him some opportunities to offer some appeal. So he'll be more palatable when he approaches the electorate again.
But I thought they were doing stuff like this because I saw him singing karaoke.
No, hold on.
Dancing Junkanoo.
Everybody does that. Dance Junkanoo. Like, we all dance Junkanoo. Like, thanks, but yeah.
What did I say that for?
I got you.
Oh, they come for me. Richard Johnson. 7 minutes.
Well, he came for me a couple of times, too.
Arch had a little side shots, but me and Juggy go way back, so Juggy know everything cool. Because I could get off on him, too.
All right.
And that's Peter out. Everybody know Peter. Peter is Peter, Punkin Eater. I can leave that alone.
Boy.
And then, you had a couple others. And then Erica Morris, too.
Oh.
I just want to let all y'all know. Y'all drug my name for giving an honest opinion. I told y'all so then. I told y'all so now. Menace is a non-factor. His unpopularity and your weak sauce rhetoric is not working. It didn't work. That is why he is there in the position he is in. Partially his own self to blame and y'all. And I have no love lost for y'all. I have no brief with y'all. It's all good. Y'all got to just take this goosey on national radio. I told you so. And as far as the minister talks from here on out, Mr. Producer, please, let my good friend Dwayne The Rock Johnson, let them know exactly what they could do with their minister talks.
It doesn't matter what you think. And I quote, you know your damn role and shut your damn mouth.
You're so hyperbolic.
Let's go. The era is over. Just like the Ingram era was over, the minister era is now over.
And now
over.
The phone lines are lit up. Oh, my gosh. You got them started.
And on the flip side of the break, someone with aspirations to fill the gap of leadership
absolutely.
In the country with a viable new option that people are asking for. The COI party leader, Mr. Lincoln Bain, will be our very special guest as advertised on the flip side of the break. And as far as the phone lines go, hang tight. We'll get to you on the flip side. It's the Monday, April 7th edition of Talking Heads with our special guest, Lincoln Bain, coming up on the flip side of the break. Keep it right where you got it.
Keep our strength, yeah. Indeed, I see pestilence and plague, but I'm not afraid. They are looking for what they can take. Coming on size, appearing on shape. Lord, give us the vision to differentiate.
KFC is taking things to crunchier levels with the new Barbecue Bacon Ranch Sandwich. Bite into 8 layers of flavor with your choice of a spicy or original recipe extra large white meat fillet topped with our premium ranch sauce, lettuce, tomato, smoky bacon, American cheese, and our rich signature barbecue sauce, all placed on a toasted brioche bun. The new KFC Barbecue Bacon Ranch Sandwich is here, and it's finger-licking good.
Spring is in the air, and so are the rewards. The Water and Sewage Corporation wants to thank you for staying on top of your bills. When you pay your bill in full, you'll be entered for a chance to win one of 3 Easter baskets filled with exciting surprises. Pay in full before your due date. Complete the entry form, and you'll be entered to win. Visit our social media pages for details. Hop to it and win with the Water and Sewage Corporation. Hurry! Offer ends April 17th.
John Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's has helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
We're still here. Since 1941, the Armory Company has been your trusted partner and one-stop solution for all your business and technology needs. From printers to copier leasing, point of sale to cloud video surveillance, and access control to ATMs, we've got it all. And we ship to all family islands. Call our dedicated customer service team now at 397-1600 or visit us behind Wendy's on Mackey Street. An experience excellence that stands the test of time. The Armory Company. Your success is our business.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty and Mary Jane.
Mary Jane.
Only on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
It's time for the buzz. What are you buzzing on? Brought to you by John's Shoes.
And his last time, he lives and rules and reigns over all living things. King of all kings, rule all things.
Lord, give us strength. Oh, never let thy face to live out the greater part of my days. Oh, child, give us strength. Give my strength, yeah, yeah. Never let thy face, no, to live out the greater part of my days. Give my strength, whoa, cha. Give my strength, yeah, yeah. I never let thy face, to live out the greater part of my days. Give my strength.
We're back at you on the Monday, April 7th edition of Talking Heads. Your boy Naughty, along with MJ, Earl the Pearl. We'll get right to our special guest, Mr. Lincoln Bain, leader of the COI, in one short order, but we got to get this in.
What we got to talk about?
Is it energy?
Energy?
I need one.
Energy.
Yeah.
You know, energy is nutrition.
Love it. That's doing the sandwich going.
They've got their world-famous smoothies. They've got their signature quinoa dishes, the best salads and breakfast fit for a king and his queen. And they're open for breakfast, lunch, and now dinner. Each order is made with love. They've got the honey balance. Visit any of their 2 locations, Old Fort Bay, open until 7:30 p.m., as well as West Bay Street above the Henrietta Plaza on the 2nd floor, which is open until 4 p.m. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook at Energy Bahamas. And if you don't know what to get when you go there, I recommend 2 things, the Botanical Green, which I absolutely love, and the Choco Joe, which is my favorite. My favorite, guilty. It's so good. Oh my God, Burley. Really? It is. It's delicious.
No, they say get the tuna.
No, because they have a really good tuna sandwich. They've named it the best ever tuna sandwich. And they live up to that.
It's off the chain.
It really is good. I thought I made a good tuna sandwich.
We will be there.
Yeah. But he likes theirs.
It's good. I mean, as far as
and I don't
get,
mind.
No, okay. as far as what you get out on the market.
Understood.
Can't never beat the home cooking. Food made with love.
That's made with love.
So, you know. All right, so we got to get to our special guest.
Yes, absolutely.
Leader of the COI show, Mr. Ben.
Welcome to Talking Heads.
Awesome, man. Thank you. It's awesome to be here.
Now, first of all, let me get the record straight. You know, you and I go way back.
Yes, way back.
We've had some ups and downs.
Yes, but we media family.
We media family, and you know, we met in the middle. We broken bread in the food store. you apologized.
I remember that. I was like, what is going on?
I thought it would have been more than 11 seconds, but hey, I take it. I know you're a busy man, so 11 seconds.
He did apologize, and I said, you know, Lincoln corrected whatever the disagreement was between you two. So I'm, you know, happy that
and we're good with
happened.
That, yeah. And we're glad to have you here. Obviously, we have lots to talk about.
Yeah.
Look, my name has people been in my house. Y'all been in my house. Y'all like family.
Well, that's right.
Thank you very much. Yeah,
so that's why you can understand sometimes families disagree. You know what I mean? But that doesn't stop them from, you know, breaking bread. So here we are today, along with Pearly. You had your opportunity. You know, several people had called in on Thursday, lobbying to Earl of Pearl. Got to get him on. Okay, so here we are.
And then
Lincoln
actually called me, and I told him I didn't want to interview him then because I wanted to sit down with him but we can really talk back and forth.
Right.
But I'm happy to be here now. We can spend 2 hours and we could, you know.
Which is rare.
Back in the day, we used to say, let's give him a haircut and shave now.
So welcome to the show, Lincoln. How's everything been going with you? Tell us a little bit, you know, about how things have been going in your life. I know you got the family you got to deal with. You got this politics you got to deal with. Just what's happening with you?
Well, right now I'm trying to fight to save this country. I think the country is going in the wrong direction. This is what I've been doing for the last 2 decades. If everyone who's been following me knows, for most of it, I was not interested in politics. Recently in 2017, I decided to offer because I didn't see a lot of strong people in the House, in my opinion, and I decided to offer. But at the same time, we were fighting for the people, which is what our mission is about. We're activists. And so that's really what we're continuing. We caught on to the natural resources and carbon credits thing, and we feel that Bahamians deserve more than they've been getting. And so we're just fighting for Bahamian to get whatever it is that's due to us.
But carbon credits isn't the sole focus of the coalition,
No, of course not. We want a country that works. We want to put Bahamians first.
Okay.
That's the mission.
Principles behind this coalition, you say you're independent. I know we interviewed you before the last election.
Yes,
we brought you on, as well as some of the members from your group. Explain to the Bahamian people again this concept of coalition of independence.
Yeah, so when we first formed, we were Bahamian Evolution, and we were all about activism. We were not interested in politics at all, but we realized after being activists for a while that the politicians aren't going to do what's right. And if we wanted for Bahamians to benefit, Bahamians to be put first, you got to go in the House and make it happen. You got to take the pen from them. And so we decided to go in that direction. We formed a group of independents working together. So we were all independent candidates that were working together for a common cause. And we had an election. They decided that we'll call ourselves a coalition of independents. And that's how we went into the election.
So you're technically not independent anymore. You're a party?
After the election, because, you know, after 5 months of forming, I mean, it's called a slap election. And we had 3 weeks to really get everything together and get out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we ran almost a full slate. And we did pretty well for just getting out there. And so we decided that after the election, we would talk to everybody and see if we wanted to form a party.
Okay.
And so we decided that on November 26, 2021, we actually registered the organization as a party. And we formally, last year, April, we officially launched having our convention, our official first convention, although we'd had elections before that, our official first convention as a party, and we officially launched as a party in April of last year.
So you are part of it. I just want to be clear because, you know, you may get some criticism that it's a misnomer. Are the persons that are attached to your group actually independent, or are they expected to go by party guidelines? Is it that you expect them to follow whatever it is that you guys have in your constitution, so forth and so on? They're not truly independent, but that's just the name of it now.
Yeah, so in terms of independence, for PR purposes, we decided to keep the name.
Okay.
Because it's hard in politics because there's so many parties, and sometimes even when you go door to door, they'll say Coalition of Independence, and people don't remember the name, but if they say Lincoln, people, oh yeah, that's what I'm voting for.
It's on my
mind.
So
for PR purposes, it was better to keep the name.
Right.
And the reason we decided it was okay to keep the name is because we're now Coalition of Independence, meaning independent thinkers. All right? We're not going to have a whip in our... in our house, meaning that you're forced to vote. How the Coalition of Independence, meaning independent thinkers. So we decided to keep the name. So it's just a name. You can call your party whatever you want.
Right.
All right. But we decided that that's the name we
Let's go back to this idea about not having a whip.
Go
ahead, Pearly. Jump right in.
I know
go
ahead the Westminster system. I don't know if it requires, but hasn't it a whip for each party, and the way it's based that the whip is in effect when it's time for things to happen for the government.
Right.
So is there a possibility that you would allow yourself not to get your budget passed if you don't put the whip on?
No. So basically what it is the whip is called when they want it to be called. The whip isn't always there. And the whip doesn't stop anyone from voting against government because people still with the whip there still vote against the government. All right, or still move on. You saw Brian McCartney do it. The whip was on when he was going to sell BTC, and you saw when they're going to raise VAT. Even though the whip was on, four of the FNM MPs still decided that they were not going to vote for VAT to be raised by 12%. So the whip is only theoretical. It's like a theoretical thing that we just need you all to behave and go with us, but you're not forced to do so.
But, I mean, you're using the word whip as a verb. What about whip as a noun? The person who organizes, who ensures that persons are where they're supposed to be, they're aware that votes are happening. What about that role of the whip?
The whip is going to be the people. What we did, and it's in our candidate's application, it's in our rules, you're going to go to the people before you make those big decisions. And so we're setting it up where you're going to be able to hear from the people before you go and make decisions on these major things. Like if you want to, just call in loose examples, you want to legalize marijuana, for example, then, okay, let's see what the people have to say. And they're going to be able, through technology, through a mobile app, they're going to be able to vote.
Real quick,
and
let
say,
me
this
just
is our opinion.
Interject on that. Your stance, or the COI stance, on the legalization and decriminalization of marijuana. Do you stand for recreational, medicinal, and sacramental, or is it just medicinal?
Yes.
All three facets.
Marijuana is a tree. And I don't understand why a tree should be illegal. Of course, this is a decision that the people should make. At the end of the day, but marijuana is a tree, all right? It's not like cocaine that is a processed thing that you make. It's not even like a cigarette that's a processed thing that you make. It's literally a plant.
All right, as far as the industrial portion, the hemp side of it, would the COI, if elected as the government of the day, you know, diversify into that economy, into that market,
and
allow young Bahamians to get into the farming aspect of it for both, you know, recreational usage, medicinal usage, sacramental usage, and then obviously the industrial usage.
Hemp, 100%. I've done a couple of lives on it. I went to Colorado and actually did the research, met with companies, checked their paperwork, see how they do things, see what is needed to start this thing, see what the pros and cons are, why you can't grow in certain places. So we did all the research and I presented it to the public. I even went to marijuana and hemp trade fairs to do the research on all of this. So we're ready to get this going. This could be organic hemp from the Bahamas is something that we think that would catch on around the world.
Obviously, you'll have to go through red tape as far as export goes with our neighbors to the north, but obviously that's for negotiation's sake. Colorado, I mean, when you visited Colorado, that's a couple of years ago, right?
Yes.
So obviously, you know, they've changed their stance on their bill as well because they wanted to enhance it, because obviously they saw that the first variation had some loopholes they needed to correct.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, your bill moving forward would be something adequate, you know, with taking into consideration those loopholes and pitfalls and hurdles that Colorado fell into.
Of course.
The states to introduce legalization of marijuana.
Yes, of course.
Or cannabis.
Yes, of course. One of the biggest issues was financial issues, and then there were issues of cross-border when it comes to states, et cetera. But, of course, we would have to negotiate with our neighbors to the north. But we have neighbors to the north called Canada that will more than be able to accept us. They do it right now with other countries. And so we think also as a form of tourism, tourists may want to come here and get medical treatment using medical marijuana, et cetera. They may want to get hemp products production. We have 11 million tourists coming here. And so we think that's another market that can open up big time.
Okay, I have a quick question. I don't want to be pedantic on this, but I'm getting so many text messages. Mm-hmm. Just to clear up this whole whip thing, because that's one of the things that you asserted. So the whip not only tells the other MPs what leadership expects and rallies them and brings them in when it's time for a vote, but it also communicates what the party leadership expects. You're a party now, and it also brings concerns from MPs back to the leadership. You will have no one acting in that role if you're elected as the next government. Is that what you're saying to us?
Just before you answer, sorry. But and on the whip, and I'm not trying to belabor it as well.
No,
but
it's just
I'm confused and I want to be clear.
Clear.
As a cabinet, you're expected to vote as one. Without a whip, how do you control your cabinet to make sure that the cabinet decisions are made? And I know people did not listen to the whip. The whip is always on, but they're not having listened to the whip. Branville didn't listen to the whip and others didn't listen. But as a cabinet, you're supposed to come into that house and vote as one. How do you control that? If you're telling them there's no whip and there's no independently thinking, you can just go as you
want
to
go. Let me show you the difference. The reason for the whip is normally when you want to put a bill that's going to hurt the people. All right?
I would not say
every,
that.
Let me go ahead. Half of a statement.
Go ahead.
Every time you see the whip used is when you're going to put a controversial bill to the people that they may not want. For example, you want to sell BTC, our good profit-making entity. And so, of course, you're going to have to force some people to go along with that because they won't agree with that. Oh, you want to raise VAT. You said we were going to get rid of VAT. Now you want to raise VAT that you said was no good and the wrong way to go from 7 to 12%, of course, the people won't agree with that, so you're going to need a whip. But if you bring bills to the people, that's going to benefit the people. We're not going to need a whip when we tell bill for sovereign wealth fund so that every Bahamian could benefit from that. What are we going to need a whip for? We're not going to need a whip when we put bills in place that benefits us. Everybody gets a crown land because we deserve it. 4 million acres, 200,000 adults, we could get 1 acre and it won't hurt anybody
so,
or anything.
Hypothetically.
I'm sorry, Naughty, but in how to put this? I want to be kind. Go ahead.
I'll ask this since you guys aren't asking. If the whip is on and a budget is supposed to be passed and you have no whip on and your budget fails, would you as prime minister of this country, if you're so elected, resign your position?
I don't believe that our budget would ever fail.
I'm asking if you would resign if your budget does not pass.
You're asking me about a hypothetical.
Yes.
All right?
Yes. A whip.
No. With a whip, your budget could not pass. With a whip. Right?
Well, you would know whether to take that particular budget to Parliament in the first place. All with right. a whip.
So let me tell you the theory on this. The whip doesn't stop someone from voting against you. It doesn't. And we've seen that in the Bahamas,
People, Lincoln. One or two people, but not the majority of people.
Let me put it
right.
like this.
Because if you look, in governing, it is a very hard job. Is there going to be some decisions that you will have to make?
But this is, yes, there's going
to
be
some very, very hard decisions you're going to have to make. Some things that you may have to do that does not control, you may have to pass a bill or something that keep the country floating, because people in Europe messing with us every day. So there may be some hard decisions made. How are you going to do that if people in their consciousness say, I don't want to do this? You're going to allow it to fail in the country?
No, we're not going to allow it to fail. We are going to put things forward. I know we're not used to this in our governments. They always put stuff forward that doesn't benefit us. Every time they go to the house, I want you to think clearly, think back. It's only things that oppresses us. You can't do this, you can't do this, or more taxes every single time, more creative taxes. All right? We are looking to put bills in place to benefit this country like they're doing in other that are prospering, like in Norway and other countries where they're doing well.
So I guess that's a perfect focus. Segue. That's a great opportunity for you to break down the now infamous short heard round of Bahamas $100,000 promise to Bahamians.
And so let me...
Let us know exactly mm-hmm. how that could work.
Yes.
Exactly which demographic of Bahamians you're talking to. Mm-hmm. So we know exactly the figures that you're coming up with.
Good question.
So folks could actually understand and galvanize what you're saying and get it from, for lack of a better word, the horse's mouth.
Yes, good question. So this came about when John Pinder and other, what do you call them? Union leaders mm-hmm. decided they were going to research the aragonite industry, okay? And so they felt that Ingram had just signed an aragonite deal, and they felt that Bahamian should benefit. It shouldn't be one little company benefiting from an aragonite deal. So they decided, okay, we're going to research this. After doing their research, they came back, wrote a letter that has been published. They wrote a letter to Perry Christie saying, Perry, Mr. Christie, Bahamians should benefit from this, like they're doing in other countries around the world with the natural resources. We believe, and they put in the letter, every household can get $100,000. And so this election promised by us, all right? This started with them. Perry Christie Grabity said, you know what? This is true. And in fact, I love this so much. We're going to start a sovereign wealth fund like those countries around the world are doing. And he did the sovereign wealth fund in 2014. Of course, they never did anything with it, but he did the sovereign wealth fund to move in that direction. He also promised stuff like free electricity, etc. All right, so that came from them. When we got into it and we started doing the research on it deeply, I would bring those fellas who would talk about natural resources on my TV shows, on my radio shows in the past, right. And we would talk about it and we would educate the people, but we'd never seen evidence of it. So when I decided in 2020 to start doing the research on this, I looked at what they had done. I said, okay, they're saying 100,000 every household.
And your friends are obviously C. Allen Johnson, the late KCX.
Yes, and Prescott Smith.
And Prescott Smith.
Pastor Andrew Stewart, who really was the person who really was the strength behind all of this. He's passed away. McLean Seymour and others.
And don't forget your candidate for Montague, Mr. Graham Rutherford. Great suit and all. You can't forget Graham.
He's been speaking on
man, he's been regurgitating Seattle for years. So
yeah. So once we decided to do the research, we realized that there was more than just aragonite. If they said aragonite alone, and Perry Christie agreed, and this was a PLP principle.
Prime Minister, yes.
Yes, and the former Prime Minister agreed, and he put law in place to move in that direction. We said, that's just aragonite. What about the limestone that Vaughn Miller talked about $5.4 billion every 16 months? And that's the raw value, not what they sell it for. What about the salt that's going out of here? Every ship sends out $300 million worth of salt out of our country, every ship. What about all of the other natural resources that we have? And so we started to do research, and that's when we put out the documentaries to show. We formed the Bahamian Evolution, and the documentary showed documents, evidence, signatures. We showed you our aragonite being sold on the open market. No processing needed, because some people say, oh, you got to process this stuff. It costs millions to process this stuff. No, that's nonsense. In some instances, that's the case. But they are taking our raw aragonite, bagging it, and selling it for aquariums. They're selling it as play sand. They're selling it as all manner of things. They're using it on soccer fields and using it for all kinds of things. And so with all of the stuff that we saw and investigated, we decided that if we take a certain amount of aragonite alone, we just use aragonite as an example in the documentaries, and we sell it for a certain amount of money, then we could have enough money to not just give every household a check, but to give every individual a check.
So just to be clear, because last week when you had a former member of the Free National Movement Caucus, Mr. Iram Lewis.
Before you go there, are we finished with the...
No, I'm just discussion ties in. I read an editorial in one of the national dailies, the Tribune, and it said this thing that kind of stood out to my mind. Quote, back at the election, you may remember the leaflets from the coalition that promised such things as free education, free healthcare, free water, free electricity, free internet, and a check for $100,000 every year, to every Bahamian with a passport. Mr. Lewis has hopped aboard a ship of fools with every likelihood that his political career will sink fast. Did you promise every Bahamian free electricity, free healthcare, free education, and a check for $100,000 every year to every Bahamian with a passport? Is that something the coalition has promised?
Yes, that's something that the coalition has promised.
And you plan to fund it how?
We plan to fund it, one, with our carbon credits. Okay. And so the University of Michigan has investigated our carbon credits, and they have said that our seagrass alone is worth $156 billion. That's okay. Not monetized yet, but right. That's the worth.
Right.
That you found a diamond mine, and it's worth this amount.
Right.
Now you got to take those diamonds and sell them.
Right.
All right? So that's the value of it. If you have something that's valued that, would it stop, that's per year, what is stopping you from going after that? I don't care how much money it costs, how much millions you have to invest to get those a year, you need everything that you have in your country needs to go after that one resource to see what you can get from that. It pessimists always sound smart. Optimists get things done. And so it's easy to say, okay, it's worth that, but we can't get that. How do you know we can't get that? When America discovered oil, there was no big car industry. There was none of this stuff. They weren't using oil to make plastic and all these other stuff. It sounded foolhardy to put their stakes in oil. But they became the number one a miner of oil. No other country was doing so it on that level.
Let me ask you that right after your seagrass and your carbon credits.
Mm-hmm.
What's your stance on oil drilling in this country?
Okay. I think that our country is a paradise, and we have to assess the risk, all right? I don't see the necessity of drilling oil, but I think that we can make money through carbon credits by them paying us to keep the oil once discovered in the ground. Brave Davis talked about
but
it.
But you have to discover it. In order to do that, you have to do drilling. You still have the chance of leaks. You still have the chance of dealing with companies that who are we dealing with?
Right.
In order
once
to find
you,
all of this out. We're not dealing with the Shells of the world or the Exxons or the Texacos. Who are we dealing with? Last time I checked, mm-hmm. they raised $900,000 at what used to be Luciano's mm-hmm. to get the oil in the ground, to get the drill going.
Well, I was that was just a part
And Luciano's
of,
done closed now, so where they got their lunch meeting to get another
That was just a part of what they raised, and it was me who exposed that in our documentary.
Mm-hmm.
Exposed the folly that they were doing. This company came from nowhere with no experience.
It might have been after a couple of coldest videos, but yeah, I understand.
Right. And probably. And so they
wanted it's all about boiled fish, not oil fish with me.
And they were going to sell oil from the back of a ship.
Of a ship,
and
correct.
So, and it was me who exposed that video also, where he was saying that if we do this, we're going to use proper companies to do this. Shell, Exxon, BP, real companies, the same way that Norway and the Middle East countries do. But we don't want to mine oil. So I'm telling you the option. You wanted to know how it was possible. I said that there's an option to get paid to keep the oil in the ground, but use natural gas.
And how much?
We have natural gas that is extremely valuable. Countries like Qatar mostly sell natural gas. We believe that we have a big store of natural gas, and that's more safer than oil. It's air. And so we can also tap into that. Between that, our limestone is extremely valuable. Our ground, the ground you walk on, is limestone. We have 700 islands and probably 2,500 keys, and we can identify some of them that we're going to use for that industry alone.
But Lincoln, quick point. You said you identified Norway as an example, correct?
Yes.
But Norway drills for oil.
Yes.
All right? They have a high cost of living, and the taxes are extremely high.
Yes.
So and they sell natural gas.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you use Norway as a model,
mm-hmm.
we're going to drill for oil. Houston, we have a problem.
I didn't say that we're going to drill for oil. I said...
Look at Norway for... I'm just basing on what
mm-hmm.
you said.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Norway for an example. Now, mm-hmm. if you tell me look at, in sports terms, hey, look at the Miami offense mm-hmm. for an example, that means mm-hmm. that's something that we want to replicate because it's a copycat league. This is a good idea that's working for them. How can we replicate it here?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, we need to replicate it minus the oil drilling because mm-hmm. we don't need that.
Norway,
we can't ruin our blue economy like that.
Yes. Norway has something that no other country has, $1.4 trillion sovereign wealth fund that makes each citizen who actually owns a sovereign wealth fund extremely wealthy, theoretically.
From oil drilling.
Yes, from oil drilling.
Okay.
But that's their one natural resource. It's the most used natural resource in the world other than water, and that is sand. We have more readily accessible sand than any other country in the world. And sand is used for more projects than anything else. And the world is running out of sand. So if you're Googling, Naughty, you can Google or go on YouTube and you can see the world.
I have my notes already.
Perfect. The world is running out of sand. And you will see that there are sand mafias because of how rare sand is, how valuable sand is. There are countries that are out of space that need to buy sand to build more space, like Singapore. They buy from Malaysia next door. We showed in our documentary how much money they spent with Malaysia to buy sand from them. All right, which is not a good quality sand. Australia sells their sand for $390 per metric ton. All right, and that's the bad sand. That ain't a good sand like what we have. All right, and so yeah, that's the horrible sand.
I got you.
And so we have something more valuable than what they have. And so when you eat, when you brush your teeth, plastic. All the materials you can think about, right. The sheetrock.
And you educate, the concrete, you help educate us about
all of
this
is
right.
Made from sand.
Yes.
Why aren't we using what we have? We're the richest country in the world.
I want to talk a little bit more about these natural resources. I know you talk a lot about aragonite, you talk about sand. My research that I've done on the carbon credits, I have more of a value in the seagrass that we have. This government has made a particular approach about how we're going to deal with our seagrass potential blue carbons, which would be an emerging market we'd look to be the world leader in. What do you think about the way the government, the present government, has approached the blue carbon economy? What do you think is the value of our blue carbon economy? And what direction do you think we should be going in terms of blue carbon? And how much work is that going to take? Because it's not something that exists today. We would literally have to set this market up, be the world leaders, do negotiations with other countries, other companies. What is the COI's plan for that?
We won't be groundbreaking in terms of using blue carbon. There are countries now, particularly African countries, that are doing that. And they are getting, for example, free water, etc., from what they make by preserving their mangroves. We've played these videos from YouTube on my lives to show that other people are already dabbling in this. They're already doing this.
But the kind of money we're talking about.
Yes, the kind of money that we're talking about.
We're talking big now. Big, yes, big money now.
Of course. Right. And it's there. So we have to go and get it. We would be no ambition people if we don't go after the possibility of that while it's there. And so no one can quantify what the entire blue carbon of the Bahamas is worth right now. They measured the seagrass alone. That's not the mangroves.
At a cost,
that's not
of the coral. 60 million.
According,
what
to
about
the
that
university, according to the University of Michigan, the Bahamas has the largest seagrass, 61%, yes, providing total ecosystem services valued at $156 billion annually,
yes,
including $54 billion in carbon storage.
Yes.
So any credits we would get
from
this.
And by the way, just FYI, Cuba is second right around the corner with 30%.
Any credits we get from this depends on relationships. We know that the European Union is the world leader in pressing countries to actually adhere to these emissions rules.
Yes.
So we would have to have a great relationship with the European Union in order to get them to recognize our market. What is your plan for that?
Of course, we're going to immediately get with the people who want it. They already have these stuff in place from 2014, 2016. Really.
And approve the Bahamas as being a place that you can get the credit from.
We just have to jump into the markets, all right? Now, there's the mandatory markets, all right, which is what this government is avoiding. They're going into the voluntary market. And the voluntary market is like, okay, you're going on a cruise and you want to be a good citizen and you're saying, okay, my cruise, I'm going to put this amount, contribute to this amount of carbon in the air. Let me pay a country or someone who deals with carbon credits and let me buy those carbon credits from them, okay? So the Bahamas now is talking about going into that market. So when you come on your cruise, when you come on your flight, you will say, I'm going to be a good citizen and I'm going to pay this amount. Some countries actually put it in the price of a ticket, all right, because you're going to be doing that. Like how we have, when you bring a battery into the country, they have certain environmental levies that they put on you. Mm-hmm. So it's similar. So this is something that's happening in the world right now already. But that's a voluntary market. But there's no oversight in the voluntary market. And that's why I believe this government doesn't want that, because they don't want oversight. But the mandatory market is when you're part of the actual markets and it's traded.
All right, and it's traded. Chicago has one. Europe has one, which is the highest. It ranges anywhere from $100. Sometimes it goes down to like 70-something, and that's a lot of money for each
But for each like I said, they would have to approve your credits being something that these companies and countries can use to offset their emissions.
Yes.
That's an approval process.
Right, that is an approval process. The process is already happening in the Bahamas right now. There are companies that do that, Gold Standard, etc. There are companies that you will just bring, you will hire them. They will go into your forest, like they've done in Africa. They'll go into your forest, they'll measure the trees, and then they'll do a sampling and say that based on that sampling, this, they don't measure the whole forest, but they'll say this forest is worth this amount of money, and then you can make that forest a reserve, which we've already have forests that are reserves. Those forests that are reserves could be paying us right now in green carbon, not blue carbon, in green carbon right now, but they're wasting opportunities.
They're relying on experts.
Go ahead.
And for blue carbon, this is why we're mapping it at a cost of $60 million with a relationship with a company where we get 49% and they get, I guess, 49.2%.
Right. That's a travesty.
So what are your thoughts on that?
We don't need to partner with any company in order to get this done. We need to see who owns that company, who's getting some money on the side.
It was published in the papers.
This is too... Well, I've also revealed who the company is.
Yeah.
We need to see the owners, and we need to see the what's happening under the table. Because there's no way you should give this company 40%, sorry, 60%, and we take 40%.
We agree that I'm mathing on that.
No.
Now, we got to get to this call. They've been holding patiently. We'll take this call, and the other callers will get to you on the flip side
and
of the break.
And the text lines are
and the ton of texts will get
we're
to you.
We're going to go through the text callers and texters.
Thank
you so much.
In the top of the 5 o'clock hour, okay? And we'll have a fully loaded, continue the conversation with a fully loaded 5 o'clock hour with our special guest, Mr. Lincoln Benish. Yours truly, Naughty, along with Mary Jane and Earl the Pearl, right up until 6 p.m. But let's get to the calls real quick. Talking Heads.
Pleasant good evening, Naughty, MJ.
Hey, thank you for your patience there, Naughty. I know you've been hanging on for a minute. Go ahead.
And you know your boy impatient. And to Mr. Bain, Lincoln, just your former schoolmate.
Your former schoolmate.
Oh, I didn't hear.
He didn't hear. Say it again, please. I'm caller.
This gray Lincoln from CH.
Okay.
I've
never been in CH.
I have two questions. One, would you be prepared to implement freedom of information as a cornerstone of your administration?
Immediately, we have been the freedom of information. In fact, we've put a freedom of information page on our website. We have been the freedom of information, exposing documents, et cetera, even some secret documents that we should not, you know, put out there, the documents from the Treasury to show how much our country is worth, what the government has been spending. I have been the Freedom of Information Act. So based on what we've been doing, you know what we're going to do. We're going to open this country up to the people.
So from day one, freedom of information.
The Freedom of Information Act is already passed and is already enacted. But what they did was Minister dragged his foot saying they were trying to find a commissioner to be in charge of it. And finally, at the end of it, they did a commissioner, but didn't give him any money. And so Brave, those came in, and they continued that with their budget, and they're giving no money to the Freedom of Information Act so that he can establish an office and do what he needs to do. And so they're choking him out because they don't really want this.
So they have
this.
Somebody with a position with no office, no power. So you give a sheriff with no badge and no gun.
Yeah, well, gun and no money for the office.
And no horn.
You work from home.
So your response is from day one and immediate. Question number two, are you prepared to conduct forensic audits? We're talking about monies to delve into natural resources. To conduct audits of current, former members of parliament. It seems like every 5 years, people declare one amount, and after 5 years, they become millionaires. Are you prepared to conduct forensic audits potentially? And if previous members of parliament, whatever capacity you serve as a part of our government, if you can't account for those resources, have that returned to the people as well? If you're looking for resources to do these things that you're talking about, is that something that you've considered?
Yes, that's something that we're actually doing now. A lot of the things that were exposed under the last two administrations was actually us. It was us who released the report with Lanisha Rowell and the ministry that she was running. It was us who exposed stuff about other ministers. And so we have been doing that. And so we're going to continue to do that. We are. We have several accountants candidates for our party. And so we also have accountants behind the scenes rating and ready to work with us. We also have persons who have acted as auditors in the government, who are party supporters and executives of our organization. And so we are ready from day one to do proper audits, and there will be commissions of inquiry with teeth and with results so that we can legally pull all the information, make it easier for our auditors, and we can get to the bottom of what's been going on.
So you're prepared to commit your ministers, people that serve the public now. There won't be any five-year millionaires in your administration.
No, we have persons who are millionaires already, but
That were not previously, after 5 years, all of a sudden they're millionaires. You will commit to that.
Yes. And they will be audited. They will be audited if that happens.
Thank you so much, caller. We do have to go to a break.
We'll get
now
to the break. We got Cuban Willie's numerology report coming up, brought to you, of course, by the Island Game. We'll get into the news in the top of the 5 o'clock hour, and we'll be right back with you in the 5 o'clock hour with our special guest, Mr. Lincoln Dane, leader of the COI. Yours truly, Naughty Law with Mary Jane. Earth will be open. We'll take some more time. We have several more questions for Mr. Bain, which we will get in, all on the flip side of the break. So keep it right where you got it. Good stuff so far. Keep the calls coming. Keep the texts coming. And we'll pick it up in the 5 o'clock hour. Keep it right where you got it.
It's not an easy road. I'm in the city, climber and the guitar, so them think I better rose. Me say, who feels it knows? All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Feeling lucky? Here's Cuban Willie's numerology report. Brought to you by the Island Game.
Buenos dias. It's Monday. Soy yo, Cuban Willie, and it's time for my numerology report for today, Monday. Brought to you, of course, by the Island Game. And I got the lucky three ball for you today. The tres pelotas. The tres pelotas today. The 9-1-2. 9-1-2. The 9-1-2. Play it and win with the Island Game and stay winning, my friend.
Here's a price list of some of the roofing material we carry at Pinda Enterprises. 5/8 pressure treated roofing ply starting at $36.68. Gray Select Water Shield, 134.20 a rule. Felt, 15 pounds, $16.50. 30 pounds, $19.80. Owens Corning Duration Shingles and Certain Teed Landmark Shingles, $56.56 a bundle. Gallon of roof cement, $33.47. All sizes treated dimensional lumber. And of course, we have all nails and all screws. We have 5/8 sheetrock, $28.76. Half inch sheetrock, $22.18. All prices include VAT.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America, City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Crunch your hunger cravings and satisfy the whole family with KFC Bucket Meals starting at just $20. Get freshly prepared golden fried chicken, buttery biscuits, and add your favorite large sides for flavor that will make your mouth happy and your feet dance. Order online or WhatsApp Hi to 557-3663 to grab your KFC Bucket today. Big flavor, bigger value, and always KFC. Finger licking good.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty and Mary Jane. Only on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
I'm Major McCullough with a bacon.
Talking Heads with Naughty is brought to you by Burger King, City of Hope, Fine Threads, John's Department Store, Joker's Wild, KFC, Pinder Towel, Prince Masters, Sandcastle Bahamas, Tropical Gyros, and the Water and Sewage Corporation.
We are back at you on the Monday, April 7th edition of Talking Heads. Naughty, along with Mary Jane, Era the Pearl, and our very special guest, COI leader, leader of the COI, Mr. Lincoln Bain. Second hour coming up. And, you know, I want to speed things up a little bit so we can continue more dialogue with Mr. Bain. So let me get to the text lines. Everybody has been texting in. So let me get to them real quick. Naughty Loretta Butler-Turner said today in the press that Minnis and Pintard used the same tactic to not nominate others, and Minnis should not be surprised. Isn't that part of playing the game, the rules of engagement? Naughty, please ask Mr. Bain if he has paid all the people that he allegedly owes their money back. Naughty.
Let me answer before
you go. Whenever you want.
Sure,
yeah, no
problem.
I don't owe anyone, and I made a declaration when I ran in a by-election. Right. If you have any evidence that I owe someone, then I would have committed a crime. So please go and have that investigated. But I owe nobody. Okay. I have a lawsuit where I went into a business with someone. The business burned down, and that person invested. I invested. They feel I should pay them back personally. And the judge said that she believes I should pay them back personally. I don't agree with that, so I appealed it. And if I lose that, then I will pay that person. But as of now, I don't owe that person any money, and I don't think that anyone would pay someone in that circumstance. But in the end, if I owe, then I will just pay.
At the moment, it's sub judice right now. It's before the courts, correct?
Yes, it's before
right,
the courts.
So we'll keep it moving on.
Right, so in other words, if you know of anyone I owe, I am live every Sunday at 5 o'clock, and I've always told people, if you know of something ill of me, please call in and expose me on my show. Bring it out. I have no problem with that. I am not a deep freeze. I'm not hiding like other politicians or running from the microphone or from the public light. And you can't be in public life in this country and owe nobody. They will deal with you.
All right, when the PLP win the next election, the Minnis and Pintard and Bain era will all be over.
Jokes.
Okay. Oh, God, that's some funny. Listen, Thursday night is open mic night texter at Joker's. Come on over. I give you 3 minutes, 5 minutes.
I'll buy you drinks.
All right, here we go. Lincoln, I want you to listen keenly on this one because I think this is a question that obviously you can speak to. Good afternoon, Naughty, MJ, Pearly, and Mr. Bain. There's no way you could give 200,000 Bahamians 100,000 a year on an annual basis. That budget alone would be 20 billion a year. That means the budget in the Bahamas would be 40 billion a year. 20 billion to run and manage the country and 20 billion to give out. That's just ludicrous.
That's not correct. Say is 400,000 people. We're only given to adults 21 years of age and older. We estimate that to be about 150,000 persons. And so we believe that based on the natural resources that we are not monetizing right now, that once we monetize them by 2030, we are going to be able to make sure that everybody gets what's theirs. In the meantime, we're going to start doing things like we said before, water. And so we believe that they're spending $70 million on water right now. And most of that is because they bring in third parties. You can't get something cheaper by having a middleman. Even a drug dealers know that. And so we're going to cut out the middleman, and we are going to do reverse osmosis and desalination, and we are going to give people water as a human right. That's $70 million. Okay. We are going to give you free electricity. Why? Because the sun is free.
Hold on. I'm going to give you a good chance to repeat that, because that is the kind of thing that galvanizes Bahamians.
Mm-hmm.
But please be specific, Lincoln, so it doesn't come off as pie in the sky.
Yeah, so we can do this now. $70 million is what they're spending because of wastage. A lot of these pipes are leaking underground, and a lot of wastage is happening, and we have middleman in there. So with water, we're going to make sure that you have that. We can do that now. They're spending, $58 million on travel? And we can't take that and use that on something that makes sense. We can do that now, and we're going to do that, okay? And so electricity is free. All right, because it can come from the sun and all these currents that we have around this country, near Curran Island and Pawlisky Dock, et cetera, we believe that electricity can be free. That dump, we've taken specialists to that dump, and that dump, the electricity from that dump is worth billions of dollars. That can power this entire island, okay, with the methane that's underneath it. They are nothing they can't make money from. But to make you understand, it's not totally free. It's free for personal use for Bahamians. All right, as a part of you being paid back for the use of our natural resources. So businesses are still going to pay, foreigners are still going to pay, but it's going to be subsidized for Bahamians.
How much does it cost to set up this system?
Say again?
How much does it cost to set up this system?
Where
Which eventually
one?
You're saying that we could have free electricity.
Yes.
But we need the infrastructure, we need the investment. How much does it cost?
We are going to release the actual investment. The initial investment is going to be $90 million for the first plant that we're going to set up. Okay. We are going to release, you can look at our Vision 2030 on our website. It's already done, actually. The CPA is going to go through it. And we're going to release business plans for everything that we are saying. There's nothing that we are proposing that we won't show you the business plan for. In our Vision 2030, in most of those, you can see, in year one, we do this. In year two, we do that. In year three, we do this, et cetera, where the money is coming from. This is the first plan of this nature that this country has ever seen. And so business plans for our solar plants, our hydro plants, and everything else that we're proposing is going to be given to the people. But when we released Vision 2025, we actually gave you the numbers and how we can do each of these things. And so anyone who is still questioning that, they haven't actually looked at Vision 2025.
So okay,
I want to get into this. This $100,000 thing is something that has been a peeve of mine for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to wrap this around my head because I know my people. I know me. I know my people. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, if we're given 150,000 people, which is 21 years and older, which is the bulk of the working force.
$15 billion is what it's
going to cost. I'm not even worried about the money. Mm-hmm. The amount of money doesn't matter to me per se.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bulk of the work working for us.
Mm-hmm.
You give me $100,000, ain't nobody can get me to come to work.
No. You give $100,000 per year.
I'm just telling you, you give me $100,000
every year.
I don't need to go to nobody's job. I stay at home to chill. Others going to the shop to spin. Others going to Miami. And I know immigration is a key thing to you.
Mm-hmm.
Who can work in the hotels as the housekeepers? Because I believe that there's a role for people in the world. Somebody have to be the housekeeper. Somebody have to be the accountant. Somebody have to be the banker. Somebody have to be the lawyer. Somebody have to be the gas station attendant.
All honorable
positions. Yes. Who's going to pump the gas? Who's going to serve in McDonald's?
Great question, Pearlie. That's why I like listening to you.
Who's going to be the maid? Who's going to be the secretaries? Because 90% of the people have getting $100,000 a year ain't coming to work. So that means, are we going to bring a bunch of immigrants in to do these jobs?
Let me help you with that. Okay, that's a very good question, so give me a second to deal with that, all right? That's the question of the year, actually. There are countries that have experimented with this. Canada did an experiment with this in Manitoba, where they decided to give what is today worth almost $100,000 in our money, it's like $96,000 in our money today, to give everyone that to see certain things. Will more people do drugs? Will more people drink? Will people stop working? Will they get more lazy? This was an actual experiment that was carried out for years, okay? And so at the end of it, they realized that less people were drinking, is less people were stressed out, less people were doing drugs. They realized that people were now more productive. People were doing what they love. No one stopped working because they were getting that. That now became a nest egg and a savings. So people, $100,000, you know, a bunch of money. You could spend that in a couple of days. All right? That ain't no bunch of money. And so people did not stop working, but now they started doing what they love. Can you imagine if a young child in your family who loves music, he can't really pursue his career because he got to work. He can't focus on music. But now, because they have something to fall back on in the family, we can experiment and let this young child make some music.
Are you telling me that because I'm getting $100,000, the housekeeper ain't going to Atlantis to work? Are you telling me that clerk in Ministry of Foreign Affairs or Ministry of Works
is
not
going to go? This is how
they're going to stay. They're going to put the $100,000 up.
Good question. We call ourselves Bahamian Evolution for a reason, my brother. And the reason we call ourselves Bahamian Evolution because it's time for the people to evolve. We were once slaves. Then we were servants. It's now time for us to be owners. Why can't we be the owners in this country and have the others come and work for us?
So you're saying we're going to bring immigrants into
the world? We have no problem with immigrants from America and from around the world.
That is the question.
The COI has no problem with immigrants. I know people say that. We have a problem with illegal immigration.
No, and I do too. But
and the corruption that goes along with it and the politicians making money by selling papers to these people, sometimes robbing them. That's what we have a problem with.
And all that I have a problem
with. We don't have a problem with Haitians, Jamaicans, or anybody else.
But I look at Cayman Islands,
mm-hmm.
who has a tremendous amount of expatriates working there. And a lot of them feel like they're losing their voice by bringing all these immigrants in to work at McDonald's, to work at Rubis, to work at Esso, to work at the hotel.
Everything that
I'm going to finish. Mm-hmm. And if they're bringing them in to work in the hotel to sell the tourists the Bahamas, a Jamaican, a Haitian, a Cuban, a Filipino, a European can sell the Bahamas working in the hotel, I can't buy that, Lincoln. I just can't buy that.
So you think that all of us should suffer? Right now, people can't buy groceries. People can't buy afford electricity.
No, what I think we should do.
Hold on, let me answer. You asked me a question, let me answer. You think people should suffer because you feel nobody, no Bahamians are going to work? We should let this country stay the way it is. No one get
that's
nothing that's due to them.
Let me
answer you. There are countries that have done this, my brother. All right? Dubai, for example, their population is just over 300,000.
They have a lot of expats. But their all total, these countries have a lot of expats.
Let me answer so you can hear it. Their total population is 3 million. That's the people living there. But their citizens is 300,000.
Exactly.
The reason Cayman is losing is because they are British and they are being overrun because they can't put a law in place that no one else gets citizenship. Let me tell you what we're going to do. When we get in, there's no more naturalization. If you are not a Bahamian at birth, you cannot become a Bahamian. And that's what these countries that let people benefit from their naturalization. As long as you want, you will not become a citizen, so you will not be able to vote in their elections and overrun them.
Okay,
all of our neighboring countries
have millions of people. They come into Dubai and do all the jobs that regular native persons from Dubai no longer do because they're pursuing, like what you say, what they love. You're going to have the influence of
and this
foreign
next
nationals
part of,
to do those jobs.
Yes, but let me show you where this is going.
To do the grunt work.
Let me show you where this is going. This is happening now. All right? And if we don't win this next election, this country's going to be flooded with foreigners. The Mexicans, the Indians, and everybody else are running this country right now.
I think this is a good point for us to segue on.
I have to finish answering this.
Right now,
Bahamians are not getting jobs because foreigners are dominating the jobs. So right now, we could be broke with no jobs. We have immigrants getting all the contracts. In Abaco, you got to go to an immigrant to get a job, and they're only hiring their people. And so right now, we already headed there. You are ahead there with Bahamians having a nest egg and something to fall back on. If it ain't 100,000 and it's 20,000,
take the money. This is what I'd rather do with the money. I'd rather take the money, pay off them billions of dollars that we owe.
You can do
both. Let me finish. Fix the infrastructure of this country properly. Fix the roads. Fix the lights. Make it a perfect country so businesses can make money and pay their employees a lot more money.
Why not do both? Why do we always have to think small?
Because I firmly believe if you give Bahamians and give anybody $100,000, this productivity is not going
to
be
Let me show That's you why. Belief. Good question. Let me show you why we want every country that went from developing nation to developed nation. They did one thing. They empowered their citizens. Either it was like Norway where they give you benefits, but they don't give out the cash, or it was like the Middle East countries that give you cash and benefits. All right? Those countries went from developing nation to developed nation. You know why? Because now the people have the money and the capital to do their dreams, to build the things that the country needs. Our country is not developed because we're dependent on 15 people in the cabinet to determine what happens in this country when a foreigner decides he coming over with an idea and they say, do your idea,
I think,
get the credit.
I think we all agree with you that more Bahamians should have an input in our direction.
And so we want Bahamians to have the capital to be able to do
Lincoln, and live their dreams.
Thank you.
Lincoln,
we got more questions
immigration,
again. Yeah, let's talk about that. Call us hang tight right after MJ's
because
question.
Because when people
I'm
think
to
about the COI, mm-hmm. a lot of your immigration policies were the things that kind of propelled you to the forefront of the conversation.
Yes.
I wanted to let's start ground zero. What is an organic Bahamian?
An organic Bahamian mm-hmm. is a person who uh-huh. was born inside or outside of the Bahamas mm-hmm. to one of whose parent is a Bahamian. Bahamian parent, mm-hmm. you are an organic Bahamian.
So
I believe, let me explain that.
Go ahead.
Sure, you know, when you say organic Bahamian, you could look at my last name and say he's an organic Bahamian. But if you do my background check, you could see I'm more Bahamian than plenty. I go way back to the Eleutherian Adventures with the Thompsons, the Roberts, the Browns, the Bethels. All right? I mean, I go back.
Let me show you.
So don't let this last name fool you. And when I hear stuff like that, I want to make sure.
Well,
right. So let me explain it. I believe that Bahamians are royalty, and we're going to start treating Bahamians like royalty and not last class in this country. And royalty should be good enough to pass their blood. So the Queen of England could marry someone from Spain or from France, and they come to England to live with the Queen. Are you telling me that the Queen, when they have a child, he can't become king and he no citizen because his daddy is something else? No, I believe that if you have Bahamian blood, you should be able to pass on your Bahamian blood so that your child can get the benefits. Now, we are not going to allow persons to be able to naturalize anymore. If you come here, you could get residency, work permit, all those stuff, but you cannot run for office in our country, just how it is in Haiti. You can't run for office there unless you are Haitian of origin. That's what they call an organic Haitian. A Haitian of origin and you own property, and you can't own property unless you're a Haitian of origin and you live there. All right? They protect their country. Why aren't we protecting ours?
So let's just to be clear, because I had a look at your Vision 2030. Quotes, only with an organic Bahamian heritage may one hold senior government positions. Persons of foreign origin changing their last names via deed polls will be prohibited. And it seems that you are going on this bloodline kind of theory in terms of who is Bahamian versus who is not. You said that not only will naturalization not be allowed, but you're going to there's a possibility you may revoke some of your position.
Sure. Nothing in there says that we're gonna
revoke. So you're not going to revoke.
Nothing in there says that we're going to revoke.
In the Vision 2030.
Nothing in there says that we're going to revoke nationalizations. All right. Mm-hmm. What we're talking about is the moving forward. All right. Moving forward. Mm-hmm. There's going to be no more naturalizations. If you come to our country the right way, you can come here. If you have a job and somewhere with sense to live, then you can come and work here. All right? You'll get a work permit. Now, if you have been here so long, that means you were valuable to this country and no Bahamian needed that job that you have. You're not going to be able, I don't care if you was here for 20 or 30 years, to get citizenship. You can get residency, but you will not be able to get citizenship to be able to vote or to be able to run in our elections and take us over. I said, all of our neighbors have millions of people. At any point, any of them could overtake us. And majority rules. If we let our neighbors come here and overrun us, like it's happening in Turks and Caicos, like it's happening in Cayman, as you said, and because they are actual British colonies, we can't let that happen or we're going to lose our nation. I am going to stand up and defend this nation and we're going to protect us. That don't mean the foreigners can't come, you know. You can come and help us build because we have major building projects. But you're not going to do anything a Bahamian could do or wants to do and you're going to come the right way. If you come the wrong way, you're going to jail. All right? But if you come the right way, welcome.
Just clarify for me, whose last name is now Zeni Kazalaya, mm-hmm. which you would not Bahamian last name, and you talk about people can't change their last names. Why that prohibition on persons changing their last names? And if you don't have a Bahamian, was considered, it's like pornography. The U.S. Supreme Court said, we don't know what pornography is, but we know it when we see it. Mm-hmm. What is a Bahamian last name?
I don't mean to laugh at that, but that is funny. We know it when we see it.
What is a Bahamian last name? And talk about this prohibition of persons who may want to just change their name. Why is that such a point of contention for the Coalition of Independence?
We all know what a last name of Bahamian origin is.
What is a last name of Chinese origin? Zeni Kazalaya Bahamian last name?
That's not a Bahamian last name, but okay. A Bahamian can have that last name.
Okay, so
Pintard is not a Bahamian last name, but sure, a Bahamian can have
sure.
that last name.
And if a Zeni Kazalaya wants to change their name to my maybe maternal last name, Bethel,
he's a Bahamian.
Is that a problem?
He's a Bahamian.
What makes him a Bahamian?
Based on that, there's no Bahamian last name. Your last name is not a Bahamian last name because you were a slave. Slave owner came and gave you that last name.
Right. No, they didn't.
I don't even know why there's a focus on last
name. My father's grandfather was a slave owner. Who gave Bain town to the slaves?
Okay, that's my point.
All right. So,
but what I'm saying is, Bahamian.
We know what traditionally a Bahamian last name is, and we don't talk about Bahamian last names in our document. That's something that you're bringing up.
Actually, it's
naughty, as far as I know.
Let me just say this because you just made a point that's not accurate.
Okay.
Only people, I mean, according to your vision, with an organic Bahamian heritage, mm-hmm. which is not defined yet, may one hold senior government positions. Persons of foreign origin changing their last names via deed polls will be prohibited. Is my son a person of organic Bahamian heritage with the last name Zeni Kazalaya?
Yes, because you're a Bahamian, right?
I am a Bahamian.
And
correct.
If you heard the
but
definition,
the last name is not a what you call a Bahamian last name.
We didn't mention anything.
You actually, I
so
just
if,
read
if
it.
If son wants to change,
Lincoln, right, I just read it.
You're not letting me answer the question.
Okay, please, sir.
All right,
because I want to be clear, because this actually
persons
affects a lot of Bahamians.
Foreign,
let him answer, guys.
Yes, he's
persons
answer.
Of foreign origin.
Sure.
A Haitian coming to the Bahamas
not just Haitians.
Will not be, I'll give an example.
Sure.
A Chinese coming to the Bahamas,
uh-huh.
an American coming to the Bahamas,
sure.
will not be able to change their last name. We saw a Chinese doing deed poll in the papers that they changed their name
sure.
to Davis.
Sure.
All right? They are doing that to use our country, I believe, to and get citizenship and get accepted easier because they will be assumed to be one of those Bahamian Chinese that America knows that we have. All right? They are taking advantage of us. We're not going to let that happen anymore. Your child, my children's grandmother is a Jamaican. All right? Well, I have no problem with foreigners.
Sure.
All right? Almost 90% of
Lincoln just can say, are you using a hatchet when you can use a scalpel here?
No.
Why? Listen, why do you again, think that this makes think that, sense?
I don't heard. Let me tell you why it makes sense. Because we have people coming here and infiltrating us and taking our identity.
So take
and
a hatchet
using
to
that,
it.
No.
Right.
And they're using that to get crown land and get other advantages in our country.
We do have
and
those issues.
I am
we
going,
do.
I am
we
going
do.
To protect this nation. All right? We're not going to be infiltrated and through a prime minister of Chinese or Haitian or American origin. We want Bahamians running this Bahamas. And I am not apologetic for being a proud Bahamian who wants to protect this country for Bahamians. All right? Naughty is a Bahamian. Your child is a Bahamian because
it's
you
Naughty
are
a Bahamian.
Bahamian.
Because you know Naughty and you know he's a Bahamian?
Because
if you don't know Naughty
heritage.
And you hear Zeni Kazalai, is that Bahamian?
Listen, I think you're missing.
I know you
missing.
Still can't.
Shame on you.
I have a hard time pronouncing it sometimes after 20 years.
I think you're misunderstanding what you're reading. What we are reading is nothing to do.
That's why you're
it
here
It doesn't
to
say that if you have a foreign name, you're not a Bahamian. That doesn't say that.
Why
that
can't
is
persons
about
change their names, though?
Bahamians can change their name to whatever they want. All right? We're not
naturalization
letting
is no longer in the question.
If you want all change.
So if naturalization
if you
is out, then you're only talking about
hold
Bahamians.
On. No. It
right?
will be out. All
yes,
right?
That's what you're saying.
It will be out.
Sure.
But if you are a foreign origin and you want to change your name, go home and change your name. All right? Don't
let's,
come here and try to change
let's
your
talk
name
a little bit
to get
more.
Our
all right,
advantages
let me just
of our
get
Bahamians.
These in
oh,
30
a,
seconds
a,
or less.
We have a lot of
questions. I got some. All right, call
just
us.
Just to be clear on immigration.
30 seconds. Yeah. We got to make it quick. Get your question in, and Mr. Bain will answer, all right? So we appreciate you calling. Here we go. Talking heads.
Hey, gracious user, Nordin. Yes, how you doing?
All right, man.
Good
what's going on?
One thing for Mr. Bain, right? Freedom Nation arc is counterproductive to any politician, so that's clearly not going to happen. Second thing is,
can
right,
you repeat that, please?
$100,000, that's just a bad idea because they ain't no Bahamian can pick up no garbage, another minimum job. So that's just a bad idea. The next thing I want to ask him, right, is how did he get Lewis to join him? Because that's a little weird to happen for him. I could see him going to independent or going to the PLP, but how did he get to talk him into joining his party? I'll hang up his answer.
All right, thanks,
thank
man.
Thank you so much.
Let's get these other calls in real quick, and then we can let Mr. Bain answer on all. Talking heads.
Hey, Nori, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, man? Make it quick for Mr. Bain. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're hanging on the voice, but here's what I'm saying to you. Go ahead and look at Switzerland as a country. Everyone in Switzerland has money to the point where if you drop money on the ground, not extremely well. All I'm simply saying is that I'm listening to the conversation. It almost comes across as three against one, but we need to start having constructive conversations as to how we can make anything work. Even if we disagree, we need to just break it down to where we can say what is the working formula in what we're saying. Because we don't all have the answers, but if we're going to build this country, we can build it on what we built over the last 40 years. That's not working. That is not working today. We got to find some new formulas.
I think we agree.
All right, God, I recognize the voice, man.
Thanks
all
so
right,
much, caller. Thank you so much.
All right, let's get to the other calls. Talking
well,
heads.
You're loading him up with a lot of
no, but I got to get him out of the way now,
okay,
so at least.
Sure.
Talking heads, go ahead.
Yes, okay.
Hey, good day, doing?
Hi, good
hey, what's going on,
caller?
Well, man, you all treat my leader bad, man. You are really rocking
not
up.
Your strong
there,
not your strong leader. He can defend himself.
No, man. Stop crying, man. Stop crying.
I ain't even entertaining that.
He can dish out plenty blow, and your minions can dish out plenty blow, all right? Because you all is following me rapidly like Jim Jones, all right? So don't play with me. You all can have all right, real
thank
quick,
you.
But let me get this question
yeah,
in, if we
sure.
could. And Texas, keep them coming. We'll get to Mr. Bain before we depart and let him get to the text as well as the calls. But here's the question. It's come up. First and foremost, How is Mr. Lewis Tooth doing, Lincoln? Mr. Latest on Iron Tooth.
He did his procedure that next morning, and he's doing good.
I don't know why he just didn't go directly to the deputy of the COI, who is a well-decorated dentist.
Very good.
He already had an appointment. I saw that they put that out saying that he was in no show. He was supposed to be on Miller show that night, and you heard Clint Watson say you would see him simultaneously.
Because it was pre-recorded or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, because it was pre-recorded. And he was on Jerome Sawyer with me.
Good stuff.
All right? Mm-hmm. And so that was pre-recorded, and Jerome played it the next day.
All right.
So he was in a no show. Just by the last one, he'd been in the house, had a long day, and his head was on fire.
That works for me. Let me cut to the chase. Why was there no seat in Central Grand Bahamas challenged by the COI when you had your convention? Now, here's my point. I saw
convention.
When you named your candidate, I think he's saying.
Why wasn't a candidate named for that?
Because,
I saw Aaron and you all shoulder to shoulder, elbow to elbow.
Don't lie.
All homeboy, at several rallies and several other things and several appearances they made. So me, not like my daddy say, I bought in the night battle, not last night. So when this came, it was a no-brainer because obviously you had been courting him all along. The COI had been courting him all along. And in true typical fashion, like his good tracking field buddy, Renwood Wells, he called for the time and said, hey, Renny, when's a good time to jump? You know how it is to jump and pillar the post. How do I do it? And there he did it. Because obviously, it's a great opportunity. If I was a political dead man walking in my constituency, which he was, obviously, because the constituents didn't want it, the voters didn't want it, and obviously, I guess 75% of his family live down there. From what I heard from them, they don't want him either. So you would have rescue helicopter. If I was him, I would have jumped on board and ride hard for you. Because guess what? You're extending my political career.
I don't know that any of that is true.
It is true. The constituency put out a statement saying Mr. Pinto said it last night.
The chairman of that constituency, his name is Lester. He goes by LSD on WhatsApp, and he spreads propaganda for the FNM, some lies and stuff. He's put lies out there on me, all right? He is a supporter of Pintard, and so, of course, if Pintard don't want him, he lets the person from the association write a letter. That doesn't mean that that's everyone in the association.
But didn't the press conference last night speak to all of this?
The association might decide that, listen, you voted against our leader. We don't want you, all right? And so that could be their choice. We haven't spoken to the 5,000 people in that constituency, and only them can choose. Now, I've spoken to a lot of them because before I made this decision to allow him to come, we went on the ground, all right? And people would know I spent a lot of time in Grand Bahama over the last few months, and I went on the ground and I spoke to people on the ground. Okay. And part of our council, people in our party allowing this to happen, although everyone didn't know exactly what was going on, is because the people on the ground wanted him. We put it out there hypothetically. We called a bunch of names in the FNM and PLP, and we went through each name individually.
Right.
All right, because we didn't want them to know who it was, and we got an answer based on that. But I went on the ground. And those people on the ground are saying something different, all right? Well, now,
why do you say you've been on the ground? You ran in the last general election, in the last by-election.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't do...
Back there? No.
That was just a test.
You're in politics, man. You got to pay attention to what's going on.
I pay close attention. That's why I'm asking you that.
I was ratified, and we ratified some of our candidates last year. The first 19
so you're going
was...
back to Pinewood?
No, yes. Pinewood is where... I didn't go going back there. That was just a by-election. And the party felt... The party voted. I didn't want that. The party voted unanimously. And when we went on the ground in West End, the people held meetings and they said we wanted to be Lincoln.
And correct
right?
me, you didn't have a candidate in the 2021 general election in West End, Bahama?
We did.
So what happened to them? The people don't want them?
He decided that he didn't want to be a part of it anymore. And in fact, he's applied to run for the FNM. That happens. Okay? Mm. And so the people, though, decided that if we have one voice in the House of Assembly, they wanted it to be me to be able to hold the government's voice to the fire. That was their reasoning. And when they came with that reasoning, I said, okay, I'll be the one to do it. They didn't want to put a new person to politics in the House by themselves to have to deal with them in-house assembly going back and forth.
But now, technically, wouldn't you be a newbie, though, Lincoln, because you haven't been in the House before either?
I have a lot of political experience over the last 20 years dealing with politicians.
But
and
my question is, you would have still been a newbie because you was first time. You got to be a rookie at some point.
You have to
no matter how good you are, how much potential you show coming up, you still got to be a rookie at some point.
I was expected to be the LeBron rookie.
That explains everything.
Let me ask you this question. We know that you applied for the FNM ticket in 2017.
Right.
So you did apply to run for the FNM in 2017 in Pinewood.
Yes, I did.
And you weren't successful.
That's when it all.
So a lot of FNMs, a lot of people are saying that the only reason the COI exists today and the only reason why you're doing this is because you vex. You didn't get that nomination in 2017.
That's incorrect. I've explained this a lot of times. I had a problem.
No, because one second. It is very LeBron-like. You went from the FNM to the PFP.
Oh, Lord,
to
you should have called that
the coach. I mean, that is very LeBron-like.
Don't say LeBron.
Always chasing a championship. That's very LeBron-like.
You're stating false that I've never been a part of the PLP. In any way.
Okay.
I've never been to a PLP meeting.
Hold
on. I have only run for the DNA because I went to go independent and the DNA asked me to come on board and my association discussed it and they said, let's go with the support of the DNA.
Okay, right? So FNM, DNA, COI. So just like LeBron, three incarnations.
I've never run for the FNM.
But you wanted to?
Let me explain.
And you didn't get it? Wasn't that the whole time with the recording of the Nisha role and all of that? And all that issue the front?
You want me to answer or you don't want me to answer?
I want you to tell me the truth.
Okay, and I will do that.
Go right ahead, LeBron. I mean, Lincoln.
Oh, Lord.
The L's got me confused. The L's got me confused. Sorry.
LeBron is a crazy dude.
Oh, Lord. All right, this is what it really was. I was never interested in politics. Right. I was an activist for a very long time.
Correct.
In 2007, I was offered to run. In 2012, I was offered to run. I said, no, I'm going to stick with activism. I'm not interested. By 2017, I was very disenfranchised with where the country was going, and Ingram was gone. Minnis came aboard saying that he was going to do different. I'm not a lawyer. I'm going to do different. I'm going to focus on the poor. We're going to have policies for the ghetto, et cetera. And I said, you know what? This man might be different. And so I was not a part of the effort. At that time, I was not a member or anything, and I said, and I started to meet with Minnis, and he started to listen to stuff I was telling him, and he started to actually want to implement some of these things. He started talking about some of these things. So I said, you know what? I make it go with this man. He looks like he's going to be different. And so I then joined and I applied to be a candidate to offer my talents and my skills. All right, you were an FNM at the time, so you know when I was there.
Yeah.
All right, Earl Thompson. But
they
came up.
Pearly, yeah.
Pearly, sorry about that. Yeah, sorry about that. Sorry about that. But then it came a time when people in the FNM started fighting Minnis. All right. Well, before that, there was the LOI. Right. You were there.
Yeah.
And we went and we protested. We had big protests in front of the House of Assembly. I drew placards and I was a part of that. And we said the LOI situation was corruption and we won't stand for it. They said the FNM will never let this go. That's the words they said. And we were going to fight that. And then a couple of weeks later, Loretta and those were trying to oust him. He heard of it, and he said, I got to bring in Renwood Wells and Andre Rollins from the PLP. And I was a part of his inner circle, as you will know, because he was in FNM. And I said to him...
Let me make something clear.
I said...
hold on. When I on this show, I wear no hat other than the show.
Yeah, that's
so
fine.
So I'd appreciate if you don't go
saying,
that route.
Yeah. The people know you from that. They know who I am. Okay. All right, so... So he said to us, I'm going to bring in Renwood Wells and Andre Rollins. I said, I don't have a problem with Rollins, but we went out there and protested against Renwood Wells. We said that it was corruption and we need answers. We've not gotten an answer, and I have a problem with that. I will not stand for that because I stand up on principle. I've been fighting corruption for many years by that time. I think I was about 10 years at that time. I was fighting corruption. And I said, I'm not comfortable with that. And he said, well, Lincoln, you just got to do what you have to do. They go overthrow me. I said, let them overthrow you. You're still the leader of the opposition. Let them overthrow you. Stand up on principle. And he said, no, you don't understand these things. I have to bring Renwood Wells. And so I said, well, I'm not standing next to him. All right. By that time, the executives had already announced me as the candidate for Pinewood, although it was not ratified by the council. All right. They've already announced me, Dwayne Sands, and someone else who later withdrew as the candidates. I stood on principle. When he brought Renwood Wells on the show, and I told him that what he did was wrong. It shouldn't have happened. And he needs to speak the truth about who told him to do it, if someone told him to do it.
Sure.
And I told him I'm going to stand up on principle. The FNM was angry with me because of that. Minnis became angry with me, but I stood on principle. And I told Minnis that if you're going to do this now, that's corruption because it benefits you. What are you going to do when you get in the House of Assembly, when you become Prime Minister? And I campaigned against Minnis.
Dr. Minnis,
at,
right?
Sorry, doc, former, I campaigned against him mm-hmm. at the next leadership convention, even though I knew it would have jeopardized my candidacy because I saw corruption and all this was public on my radio show. I didn't hide this. And I knew that I would lose the candidacy because I openly campaigned against him on the radio and in the FNM. I told him that's corruption. I'm not going to stand by that because I'm a man who stands by principle.
Thank you.
Of course, next thing I know, Lanisha was trying to get in Pinewood, and you know the rest of what happened.
I think we got that.
We got time constraints. We want to take it right to the wire. So get your question, MJ, and I have another question.
A couple of questions, Lincoln. These are going to focus strictly on policy, and think of getting in as many as I can before we switch to our other hosts. Exercise some brevity in just answering. I just have ideas because I looked at I did spend a lot of time over the last, since we confirmed this interview,
perfect,
looking at your Vision 2030.
Yeah.
You have some great ideas in there.
Thank you.
You also have some ideas that I think need to
There's
be.
Some more they're uploading.
We'll keep looking at it as you amend it. But I want to talk about finance because I think the pocketbook issues are the things that really are concerning to Bahamians right now. You talk about revitalizing and, the Bank of the Bahamas. You talk about breaking the dominance of the commercial banks. How do you do that without risking market instability? You talk about, from your Vision 2030, you said BOB will serve as a benchmark for fair banking. If BOB has no fee for savings accounts or offers 0% small business loans, competitors must respond by lowering their own fees or offering better rates to avoid losing customers. How do you do this without risking market instability and without, because you also go on to talk about lifting exchange controls as well. How do you do that without risking capital flight? These are things that may have unintended consequences. What is the solution, according to you and the COI?
Most of the capital made in this country, that's a lot of questions right there.
Well,
but I'll start with the last one.
But they're kind of joined together.
So in terms of capital flight, we're going to remove exchange control.
And what
right
happens?
Now, exchange control is only on Bahamians. All right?
Right.
So foreigners can remove their money. And it's them who is making most of the money in this country.
But foreigners.
So when Atlantis makes their money, it's them making the capital. All right? For the most part. And so
But Bahamians have money. We invest. We buy bonds. We invest.
But people want their money home. All right? Wherever their home is, that's where people are going to want their money.
So why release the exchange why release the exchange controls?
We won't need exchange control anymore. We're using exchange control right now to hold on to the value of our dollar, to keep
correct.
It one-to-one.
Right.
That's an asset we have.
Unofficial dollarization.
We will have other assets, all right, like other countries do, because now we're going to monetize our natural resources. So we don't need cash money as the only thing that we can monetize.
So if I have to invest $50,000 in, let's say, Alive, or I have to invest $50,000 in Facebook, what am I doing? Facebook or Amazon, what am I doing with my capital?
You're investing it.
Where am I investing it?
You're investing it in Alive.
Really?
You said you're investing in Alive.
Versus Apple, versus Amazon, versus Tesla?
We want...
Why remove the exchange controls?
Because they make no sense for
us. To you.
They don't benefit
us. There's a justification for it.
Dubai does not have exchange control.
We're not Dubai.
America does not have exchange control.
We're not autocratic
Dubai society. Let me answer. Dubai was once more poor than the Bahamas is. All right? They leverage their natural resources to do what they're doing. All right? Exchange control only puts burdens on Bahamians. Bahamians are not freely allowed to invest in the stock market. We want Bahamians to create wealth because guess where they can bring them wealth when they finish? Right back here where they live.
Dubai is an autocratic society.
Bahamians are
can
not
we acknowledge
allowed.
That?
Can we acknowledge that's
an autocratic society? They make the rules. They're monarchy from the top down. You have no say, no control. This is a democracy.
Almost no country.
This is a democracy.
Almost no country in the world has exchange control. They justified exchange control in the Bahamas because we are using our our U.S. dollars mostly, our one-to-one dollar
right,
value.
Right, because we want control.
What
we
I'm
want to
saying
be able
to
control
you is,
what's happening in this country.
We have 2,500 keys that have value, all right? A lot of it
not
is crown land.
Not realized
We have
yet.
we have billions of tons of, and this is realized, billions of tons of aragonite. We have limestone. All we have to do is what Dubai did. Dubai, when they were poor, when they found the oil, they realized that it was only a small amount of oil. So what they did was put a value on that, and then they used that to raise capital. We don't have to keep Bahamians' money in the Bahamas. That's holding us back. We need to be able to raise loans from outside the country. Right now, they're controlling you because they own the banks, or they're on the boards of the banks, and they control who gets access to capital. You need to be able to go outside of this country and get capital to build your dream if
when you say they.
The loans come from outside the country.
It comes from companies that are here. All right, it comes from Royal Bank is here.
The banks that you're going to get loans from are the ones that are here. Right. Hold on. Royal Bank, Scotia Bank, all of them. That's the World Bank.
But you're not understanding exactly what's going on. Bahamians have their money in the bank. We make billions of dollars in salaries, and we put it directly in the bank. All right. And so we take and lend. So, for example, Atlantis, they loan Atlantis money to build their dreams. They lent the Bahama money, $250 million, to build their dream.
That was U.S. dollars that were brought in.
But not in every instance.
Every instance that was U.S. dollars.
No, it was U.S.
So listen to what I'm saying. They use our money to build their dreams. Bahamians should be able to use their money to build their dreams.
Okay, you invoked Atlantis. You invoked other places like that. This is the last question I have on the finance. You talk about in your vision.
No, you had two parts of that question.
I know, but you kind of one was put it on there.
But I need to get this question. This is the last one
because he talked about...
the good questions
because he invoked Atlanta. I mean, because we wanted to give everyone a chance. You talk about in your vision 2030, the legalization of casino gambling for Bahamians. Is this a socially responsible move? Does it risk long-term harm? And what about those dollars moving? So I guess you're proposing Bahamians be able to gamble in the casinos. All of the casinos are foreign-owned. What is your thoughts on that?
For me, this is not about gambling in casinos. This is about owning the casinos. The casino hotel is the nexus of our economy. And there is no situation where a country should have something that their natives cannot own that is running their economy.
Sure.
That's like when they made a law in England that only foreigners could make salt, and that was their number one industry. We should be able to own the casinos.
So your proposal and is Bahamians own casinos.
Also, and that no one should be able to do anything in my country that I can't do. If gambling is wrong, no one should be able to do it in my country. But if gambling is okay, then if a white man could do it, I should be able to do it because I'm a Bahamian. Now, socially, that law was put in place because Cable Beach Hotel was supposed to be the Atlantis of their day. All right? And the hobby horse racetrack and the persons were able to gamble there. And Pinlin and his crew believe, and I spoke to Dornickers at the time.
You have to get this question before the end, though.
Yeah, Pinlin and those believe that most of our tourists would come from the south of America. Remember, this is in the 60s, 70s, when there was still turmoil.
Sure.
And so the Pinlin believed that those persons would not want to gamble next to black Bahamians. And so for that reason, they vilified gambling.
First time I hear this.
And go talk to persons from that era.
I can do that.
Okay, they vilified gambling. Sure. And they stopped Bahamians from gambling. There was the Bahamian club where Bahamians could gamble, and there was the hobby horse racetrack. And then they started vilifying it. Oh, Bahamians spending all their money and this and that. But they didn't feel that they would want us socially. Some Bahamians still say it. Bahamians can care on too bad.
As a first principle, because we went to a referendum that was later turned into an opinion poll after this. Mm-hmm. Bahamians said, we don't want these activities. You're saying now that, yes, we, despite that referendum, the train has left the station. So you not only want to continue the gambling, but you want to expand it.
If you are going to have anything in my country, a Bahamian should not be prohibited from it.
Right.
If you're going to make money from gambling, Bahamians should be able to make money from gambling, not foreigners. If you're going to gamble in my country, then Bahamians should gamble. If you want to legalize marijuana and have the foreigners smoke dope, Bahamians should be able to smoke dope. I'm not saying I agree with smoking dope.
I think you clear.
All right, let me get this in.
That was a great question.
We have to have you back. Obviously, because the phone lines are lit.
I know they might.
Texas, I appreciate your callers. I text you, but time is time, and I got to get this in because this should be asked late. This should be asked now, and I got to ask this because I need to know. What is your hyper fixation and hyper attention to the leader of the opposition, Mr. Michael Pinto? The question is, why I'm asking this? Mm-hmm. I know you just don't look at this block. You look further down the road. Do you see You sharpening your iron right now against the future leader of the country so you know who to go after? Because obviously, if the country takes the tone that it's taken, considering our elections the last, it's going to be a swing again. And you're establishing the COI, but obviously you know you have to go through some years of establishment and cutting your teeth before you can actually bite into the political fray. Now, are you trying to bite into the political, like seeing down the road, reading the tea leaves, look, this could possibly be the next leader of the country, so let me start from now letting him know that I could be a thorn in his side from the break. And obviously, if it turns out a weak opposition, do you think he could knock the PLP out of being the next opposition, His Majesty's Loyal Opposition, and you could lead up being the next opposition? That is why I'm asking the question. Are you sparring now? Are you shadow boxing now?
Over and over, we are out of time.
Go.
So, you want my personal...
Okay. I just need an answer.
Yeah.
Personal
law. I do not believe that Michael Pintard will ever be the leader of this country because he is not the FNM.
Why you say that?
Who's the leader of the FNM?
Whoever is pulling his strings is who is the leader.
Who's pulling your strings?
No one is pulling my strings.
Why do you feel that somebody pulling your strings and nobody pulling your strings? I ain't gonna let you get away with that.
If no one is pulling my strings?
Ain't nobody pulling his strings?
I believe that Brent T. Simonette and other oligarchs are pulling the strings.
But that could be the same way that people say your deputy is pulling your strings.
But that has been a farce. That has been a farce about the Free National Movement from day one. And we got to get away from that. That is not true.
That is true.
Well, you know what I personally think? The strings are pulled in the PLP by Frankie the Snake Wilson.
Because some people
think... They're pulling after them allegedly by Brent Simonette, and in your party, Dr. MacGyver.
And some people think Brent Simonette is pulling your strings.
Dr. MacGyver doesn't
pull any... A lot of people think the PLP is financing you. A lot of people think the PLP... A lot of people feel that the PLP is financing the COI.
Well, guess what?
And they believe that Brave Davis is pulling your strings.
You want me to answer? The PLP is not financing us. We do dollar drives that we get ridiculed for, and most of the people who support us, support us, are entrepreneurs. The people who are attracted to us are entrepreneurs, people who don't have to answer to no boss or get fired by government or their boss tell them, I'm a PLP, you can't go out there with them. You go and look at the faces of the people you see at our protests, at our events, a lot of them are entrepreneurs. I'm not saying that there are no common people, but there are entrepreneurs working together to make this happen. And if we come together as a people, we may not have what Brent Simonette have or what Frankie Wilson and Holloway Escos have, but we have enough to bring this change that we need.
I hear you, Lincoln. I do.
When you come back.
No, but
whenever you're ready. Because she just started asking the good questions,
I just was getting into the policy, but I do. I do think that it's unfair to say someone is a puppet, a puppet masters. We know how this politics.
He asked my belief and my opinion.
No, I get you. No, I get you. But I just want to
say, my opinion can't be unfair.
I think it's unfair if you put it out there without the proper context, which is
the context is that's Lincoln being opinion.
The context is all political parties get funding. And just to call someone a puppet because they get funding from different places.
I don't believe it's the funding.
Places,
I believe it's the control.
It's not right.
It's not like
it's
that.
I believe that they're controlled.
No, it's not like that.
I know more about the FNM that you think you know.
I know more than you think I know. And guess what? This is a great segue for another show. So we'll work out another time, another day.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Great questions. Love that.
And right, when you amend your Vision 2030, because I was really interested in it, just send me
I have to make you understand. Vision 2030 is the preliminary document. As we said when we released it, we are presenting this to the Bahamian people for their review. And if you look on what you're looking at the bottom of it, you can put your input. And if you say, I don't think we should get $100,000, then you put that right there with the document. And then in the end, when we present it officially for the election period, it will have the ideas of the Bahamian people. This is the first plan that has gone to the Bahamian public where they can actually contribute. That is what Minister told me that he was going to do in the FNM. And they started it, and then it stopped all of a sudden.
I will never say, I don't think I should get $100,000. I would just say we shouldn't promise
if
we can't deliver
this
it.
If there's anything in there you don't like, you just go there, contribute, and then we will go over
good
it.
Stuff,
and then
Lincoln,
we can change it.
Good stuff,
really
Lincoln.
Appreciate you being here. We'll line it up for another day, and we'll do it again. And we'll continue the conversation.
Policy.
Just pick it up and keep going.
I appreciate you having me.
And same rig. All right?
And
I do appreciate you coming in and answering the tough questions and taking the calls, unlike other political parties and their chairmen and so on and so forth. So I tip my hat to you on that.
Yeah.
Good show, everybody. MJ, Pearly, appreciate you, Lynn.
Let's apologize to our callers who didn't get in. We promise you next time we'll get you.
Yeah, we'll get you in. You know how it is. We know we normally get you in, but this was a hot one today. And we'll see you tomorrow. We'll talk all things Grand Bahama mañana. So I'm sure we'll be talking more about what's going on in Central Grand Bahama, the fires and so on and so forth. So keep it right where you got it. Tune in to us tomorrow again.
We're
going to
be in Central Grand Bahama on Thursday. at the YMTA at 7 o'clock. Not the CA, the YMTA in Hunters at 7 o'clock. We're going to be there.
All right, so make sure to go out and see Lincoln while he's there on the ground in Grand Bahama as well. Yeah.